Thank you, choir. Ask you to open your Bible to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 6, be reading verses 5 through 15. If you're using a red pew Bible, that's on page 1504, page 1504. Let's hear the word of God. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. May God bless that reading of his holy word. Disciple all nations. That was the last command that Jesus gave to his church shortly before returning to his Father. What is a disciple? Well, a simple definition, if we look at Matthew 28, where Jesus gave that command, a simple definition is disciples of Jesus Christ are baptized followers of Christ. But we're not satisfied with just giving a simple definition. We want to get into some of the specifics. We've spent the last 2 weeks looking at one of the specifics, and that is disciples of Jesus allow his word to dwell in them. In the book of Colossians, Paul commands us to let the word of Christ dwell in you. And so, a disciple, among other things, allows the word of Christ to dwell in himself or in herself. We do that, for example, when we worship regularly in a church that emphasizes the faithful preaching of the Bible. We do that by attending Bible studies that are led by gifted teachers. Currently, here at Sylvania, it's our Sunday school. We allow the Word of God to dwell in us when we discuss it in our homes and when we train our children and grandchildren to trust and obey Jesus. We allow God's Word to dwell in us when we prayerfully study it day by day. Now today we come to a second characteristic of disciples. You can see the outline on the back of your bulletin. It's a very simple outline. The basic idea is that disciples of Jesus pray as he taught us to do. And as we look at the passage that we read earlier, you're going to see verses 5 through 8, there is a negative. Jesus says, do not pray like this. Then in verses 9 through 15, we have the positive. Jesus says, pray like this. Well, let's look first of all at the negative. Jesus says, do not pray like hypocrites. About whom was Jesus speaking when he used that word? Now, you know what a hypocrite is. It's a person who pretends to be something that they're not. And if you read through the gospel, especially the gospel of Matthew, I've spent a great deal of time in the last 2 years studying through the gospel of Matthew. And in the gospel of Matthew, it's very clear that the primary hypocrites of whom Jesus was speaking were the Pharisees. You remember the Pharisees. They thought very, very highly of themselves. I mean, they were careful to obey God's commands, or at least that's what they thought. If they raised a tenth of an ounce of a particular herb in their garden, they were careful to tithe a tenth of an ounce. I mean, that's how careful they were. Of course, if you look further into the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus makes it clear they weren't what they thought they were. But the people also thought they were the righteous ones. They are the ones that we have to be like. But the Pharisees were deceiving themselves, and they were deceiving the people. How? Well, many ways, but one particular way, they did their good deeds to be seen by others. Look there again at verse 5. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners, and here it is, to be seen by men. That's one mark of a hypocrite, one who does his or her so-called good deeds for the purpose of being seen by others. We might call this really prestige. The Pharisees did their good deeds so that they would be praised by others, so that they would have all of this prestige, or to say it another way, prestige was their God. You see, they were idolaters. They were worshiping prestige, among other things, rather than worshiping the true God of Scripture. And so Jesus says, don't be like the hypocrites. Jesus warned, we've seen twice now, against doing your good deeds to be seen by men. I read at the beginning of the worship, verse 1. And now I've just read verse 5. And again, the overall context, Jesus lists not simply praying, but also fasting and giving. And included in that would be preaching, would be visiting the sick, would be preparing a dish for that family that's had sickness or surgery. All of those things, on the one hand, they can be viewed as being good. But when they're done for the wrong motive, then they become evil. And Jesus says, don't be like the hypocrites. Now, don't misunderstand what he's saying here. Jesus is not prohibiting public prayer. See, some people read this passage and they come to the conclusion that Jesus is prohibiting public prayer. And because of that, people are very reluctant to pray publicly. That's not what Jesus is teaching here. He's teaching more, rather, when you pray publicly, do it for the right reason. Don't do it to be seen by men. Now, I could show you many passages, but I want to show you one in particular, where there is public prayer and where God's blessing is obviously upon that public prayer. I want you to turn to 1 Kings chapter 18, page 557 in the Red Pew Bible. 1 Kings chapter 18. Now this is a story of the prophet Elijah and the prophets of Baal and King Ahab. Ahab hated Elijah. In 1 Kings 18, verse 17, Ahab saw Elijah coming, and he greeted him with these words, "Is it you, you troubler of Israel?" Well, Elijah wasn't going to take that. Elijah responded by saying, I'm not the troubler of Israel. You and your fathers, those of you who have neglected the commandments of God, you are the ones who trouble Israel. And Elijah goes on in verse 19 to tell Ahab, I want you to gather all the prophets of Baal, and I want you to gather all the people of Israel, and meet me at Mount Carmel. So King Ahab does as Elijah has asked. Down in verse 23, Elijah says, I want two bulls to be given to us. You prophets of Baal, you choose one and I'll take the other one. You cut your bull in pieces. You lay it on the fire, on the wood, but you don't put any fire under it. And I'll do the same. And at the end of verse 24, he says, the God who answers by fire, he is God. If Baal can answer by fire and consume the offering, then we'll know that Baal is really God. But if Yahweh, if Jehovah is the one who answers by fire and consumes the offering, we'll know that he is really God. So Elijah said, you go first. So the prophets of Baal prepare their sacrifice. And in verse 26, after they had placed the bull on the altar and prepared it and so forth, it tells us that they called upon the name of Baal. Notice this. From morning until noon. At least 3 hours, but probably we're talking about 6 hours there. Oh, Baal, answer us. But there was no voice. No one answered. And they limped around the altar that they had made. Verse 27, at noontime, Elijah mocked them. Now, let me be clear here. This is not the way that we should normally deal with people of other religions. These were the religious leaders. And when we see Jesus and we see John the Baptist and we see Paul, we see them engaging in basically the same type of conduct toward the religious leaders. You know, the false prophets, the priest of the false gods, things like that. We will see this type of conduct toward religious leaders. But in your day-to-day life, when you encounter someone who's from a different faith, normally you shouldn't act this way toward them. But it is funny. Look what Elijah says in verse 27. At about noon, Elijah mocked them. Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is musing, or he's relieving himself, or he's on a journey, or perhaps he's asleep and he needs to be awakened. I love it. Verse 28, they cried aloud. They even cut themselves. Blood gushed, it says. They went on. And as midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation, but there was no voice. No one answered. No one paid attention. Then it was Elijah's turn. Verse 32, after he had placed the altar, the sacrifice on the altar, he dug trenches. In verse 33, he told them to fill 4 jars with water and pour it on the burnt offering. Then he tells them, do it a second time. And then he tells them, do it a third time. And then we come to Elijah's public prayer. Now get this, all of Israel is gathered there. The king of Israel is there. The 450 prophets of Baal are there. And Elijah prays publicly. What did he pray? Verse 36. O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you have turned their hearts back. Look at verse 38. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. Now this was a public prayer. And I chose this one for a number of reasons. I'm going to come back to it as we get further into the sermon. But one of the things we see here is that Elijah clearly prayed publicly. And the blessings of God were clearly upon that public prayer. So when Jesus says, be careful that you don't pray in order to be seen by men, it's not public prayer that he's condemning. It's the idea of praying to be seen by men, praying so that they will praise you. Now, we have a couple of words I would say to that. Your prayers, you should emphasize the private prayers. That's where your emphasis should be. A Christian that is a disciple of Jesus Christ prays as Jesus taught us to pray. And normally that prayer should be in private between you and the Father. Now, of course, there are going to be times when you pray with your family. That is proper. There are going to be times when you come, maybe on Wednesday or a Sunday night, and we have prayer time that you join in prayer. That's proper. But the emphasis of your prayer, most of your prayer, should be in private between you and the Lord. Furthermore, when you pray publicly, make certain that you pray to get God's ear, not to get praise from men. You see this in Elijah's prayer. Elijah's prayer basically breaks itself into two parts, just as the Lord's Prayer does. You see, first of all, he prays, O Lord, let them know that you're God. That's his first, that is his primary concern in his prayer, that the people of Israel will know that Jehovah, that Yahweh is the true God. His concern is not first with himself. But secondly then, he prays and let them know that what I'm saying is what you've sent me to say. This is his prayer. And God answers it very dramatically. So Jesus says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrite. Secondly, he says, don't be like the pagans. You can stay for right now in 1 Kings. Jesus says, don't be like the pagans. Some translations have the word Gentiles. These are obviously religious people. I mean, they're praying, so they're obviously religious people. But they are not worshiping the true God. That's why they're called pagans. Well, these prophets of Baal are perfect illustrations of the people that Jesus was talking about when he said, don't be like the pagans. Two problems with the prophets of Baal. First is that they prayed to a false god. Why is it that Baal did not answer? Because there is no God, Baal. He was a false god. If there had been an answer, it would have been Satan himself. But Baal is a false god. He doesn't exist. The prophets of Baal were worshiping a false god. Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 6, you're probably familiar with this verse. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So whatever you're going to do, if you want to be saved, if you want to worship, if you want to pray, if you want to give tithes, if you want to go out and do good works in the name of the Lord, whatever you do, they must be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If they are to be accepted by the Father, if you want to pray and have your prayers heard by the Father, they must be offered through Jesus Christ. If you want to live eternally with God rather than in that other place, then you must come to the Father through Jesus Christ. Well, the prophets of Baal were praying to a false god. That was one problem with them. A second problem was they thought that the way to get God's attention is by long prayers and by dancing and even by cutting themselves. I mean, it's very possible they started at 6 in the morning. Definitely, I would say, by 9 in the morning. And more than likely, they went maybe until about 6 in the evening. Anywhere from 9 to 12 hours praying and praying and praying. And I can guarantee you, they were praying the same thing over and over and over. How was it that our scripture text put it? When you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans. Well, that's exactly what these prophets of Baal were doing. They were babbling because they were pagans. They were babbling on and on and on. And that didn't get Baal's attention. So then they go to dancing. And that doesn't get Baal's attention. So then they cut themselves. And the scripture says the blood gushed forth. And still, that did not get God's attention. You see, they were thinking that the way to get God's attention is by doing all of these things. And Jesus says no. Now again, it doesn't prohibit long prayers. There are times for long prayers. The book of Nehemiah, you don't have to turn there, but Nehemiah chapter 9 is an example. I mean, this was a critical time in the history of Israel. They had been carried away captive to Babylon. God, in his mercy, had brought a remnant back. They had started the rebuilding, the walls, rebuilding the temple, and all this kind of stuff. And it came a time where they sincerely renewed the covenant with God. And if you read there in Nehemiah 9, it tells us that they read the word of God for a quarter of a day. And then they prayed for a quarter of a day. Now these were the priests of the day, Ezra and others who were leading the reading of God's word and leading the prayer. Now normally we would say a 6-hour prayer meeting. Well, that was an unusual circumstance, but yes, a 6-hour prayer meeting. And again, if you read the context, it's clear that God's blessing was upon it. So Jesus is not here teaching us that it's wrong to pray long prayers. But rather, he's teaching us it is wrong to pray to a false god, and it's wrong to pray thinking that your long prayers will get God's attention. What gets God's attention? Prayer that comes from the heart. A prayer that is in accordance with God's word. We look for two basic things. We look for sincerity, and we look for it being according to truth. When Jesus was questioned about worship, We worship on that mountain, or do we worship in Jerusalem? And Jesus says, well, there's coming a time when you'll worship every place. And then he goes on to say that the true worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. That spirit has reference to the idea of sincerity. That in truth has reference to being according to God's word. So whether you are giving tithes and offerings, whether you are praying, whether you are coming for baptism, whether you are preaching, whatever the case may be, it is to come from the heart. It is to be sincere, and it is to be done in accordance with God's word. And here, particularly, Jesus applies that to prayer. It requires mind and heart, not thoughtless repetition, not trust in a specific formula, but rather a sincere heart praying according to God's word. So I encourage you, ask. We're not going to get there today, but in the Lord's Prayer, Jesus teaches us in verse 11 to ask. Give us today our daily bread. A verse that I use oftentimes when I visit in the hospital. Don't be anxious, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And that's where he promises the peace that passes all understanding. So the emphasis here is ask, but don't babble on and on and on, thinking that it takes a long prayer. I remember when I was a kid, I don't know exactly how old, 10, 11, I got into this kick. I would go to bed at night, and I had this idea that if I ask God 100 times to save me, eventually he will. So night after night after night, I'd count them, you know. I'd pray 100 times, God save me. There's nothing like that in the Bible. The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. It doesn't say you've got to pray 100 times for 5 nights in a row or any such foolishness as that. You know, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. Well, it certainly was in my case. No, ask, but don't babble. Look at verse 8. Jesus says, God already knows what you need. Now, don't understand that to mean, well, there's no need in asking. That's not the point that Jesus is making, because he goes on to tell us to ask. But the point is, you don't have to keep on telling God and reminding God. He already knows. God's God. He's not only sovereign, but he's also all-knowing. He knows everything about you and me. He knows far more about us than we know about ourselves. And he knows our needs. But he does teach us to come to him and to ask. And so we ask, but we don't babble. And when we pray publicly, normally our prayers should be concise and they should be prayed with the mind and the heart. On Sunday evening, the prayers that we're emphasizing are not long prayers. Someone makes a request. Someone volunteers to pray for that request. The prayer might be one sentence, it might be two, it might be three, it might be 5 seconds, it might be 20 seconds. It's not long prayers. Public prayers normally should be concise, and they must be prayed with the heart. Followers of Christ, disciples, pray as Jesus taught us to pray. We've seen two things we're not to pray. We're not to be like the hypocrites. We're not to be like the pagans. Next week, we'll go positive. The things that Jesus teaches us to pray. Things related to God. Things related to ourselves. But this is what I want you to take home. followers of Christ, disciples of Christ, pray as Jesus taught us to pray. Now, if you're here today and you're not a disciple of Christ, you're not a follower of Christ, I would encourage you. I would encourage you before you leave this place to believe the gospel and to commit your life to Christ. And if you'd like to talk about it, I'll be available after the service. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the wonderful instruction that we have today, instruction on how not to pray. Next week, instruction on how we should pray. Father, help us as followers of Christ to be a people of prayer. We ask in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior.